The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 6, Scene 8. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Julinda Lewis from RVA Art Review.
Susie Hoppenstock from BroadwayWorld.com.
And Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
Since this is our second Curtain Call on holiday offerings in local theaters, I'm starting with an interview about one of those shows. Then Julinda, Susie, and Claire will be back to discuss that show. And finally, we have a special guest to send us into the holidays. Now I'm visiting with Lucian Restivo, who is the artistic director of Richmond Triangle Players. Lucian, welcome back to Curtain Call.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So we're going to talk about The Santa Closet. So tell me what the title of The Santa Closet is all about.
Well, the original title of the play was actually Santa Closet is Coming Out.
Oh. Okay.
And so Jeffrey Solomon remounted his show last year in New York and completely reworked the show as well as renamed it The Santa Closet.
And give us a little, without spoiling anything, give us a little quickie of this plot.
A little child writes a letter to Santa, which completely snowballs into a story of Santa Closet coming out. So Eddie Webster is starring in the show and Levi Mirovich is actually understudying.
I know obviously every year Triangle does a holiday-based show. And what makes this one kind of special or unique or different?
We're definitely known for our campy Christmas show every single year.
Right.
But what I think the Santa Closet brings to our theater is really a heartwarming story at the end of the day. There is the camp and stylistic moments, but it really has heart and gets them to talks about some deep topics.
So tell us about who's directing.
Yes, Nora Agungale has been a fantastic friend of mine for years, and she had expressed interest along the way of directing and learning, and she has always been a terrific actor, most recently been on our stage in Times Square Angel last season, and she worked with Chelsea Burke on a New Voices show and helping her direct some there. And I thought about giving her this amazing opportunity, and we have worked and collaborated, and she has taken fantastic notes. I feel like this has been a fantastic learning experience for her.
And they're streaming as well, I understand, for those who just aren't ready to go back?
Yes, absolutely.
The show will run until December 19th, if I'm not mistaken, and then anybody can obviously download and share it even longer.
Exactly. And so once you download the video, you have until the end of the year to watch the video.
Well, this sounds fascinating, and thanks for contributing today, Lucian.
Thank you so much.
And we've already heard Lucian Restivo talk about The Santa Closet. Now we thought we would talk about it and what our experiences were like. Julinda, since you're the only one of the four of us who actually saw it live, why don't you start?
I saw it live with Levi Mirovich, and I also saw the streaming version with Eddie Webster. It was interesting. I really enjoyed watching the live theater with Levi because, first of all, it was live. I thought that Levi really, really nailed the humor of it. The Santa Closet strikes a delicate balance between humor and tenderness. In comparing the two performances, I thought Levi was a little bit more significantly into the humor of it, whereas Eddie really captured the tenderness of it. Both were enjoyable. I loved watching Levi transform from one character to the other. Watching the streaming version with Eddie was also nicely done, and I thought that the parts where Eddie portrayed the mother were more moving, more touching than when Levi did it.
So now let's pivot to the streaming versions and those of us who saw those. Susie, you want to go first?
I can't say that I saw them in total because I had trouble. I tried to watch both streaming versions and I had a lot of difficulty with the sound. I think maybe if they had used a body mic, it might have worked better.
Absolutely.
But as it was, I could not understand Eddie, even with the volume all the way up. And I could understand Levi in terms of volume, but there were still many words that were just garbled. Didn't see enough to say anything about the script or the acting.
Claire?
I would agree with Susie on this one. I watched Levi's streamed version and I could tell from what I saw that this would have been a lovely production to see in person. I could see Levi sort of engaging with the audience members who were there. I couldn't quite understand or follow exactly what was going on because of the sound issues. You know, I could get a lot of, you know, Levi's physical performance, and I could see some cool elements about like the set design and the lighting design, but still without the sound quality there, I just couldn't really follow. I can't tell you much about the script.
I had the same issue. I got about 30 minutes into Eddie's version and I couldn't understand half of what he was saying. His delivery is very clipped. And when you've got one mic at the back of the house, which is apparently what they did instead of a body mic or even some mics on the stage, you get all that room ambient. So anybody who talks really fast like this is going to just get blurred. And it was a blur. So I gave up. I did watch Levi's. I managed to get all the way through that. As I said in my review, luckily Levi's got a big mouth and he'll be the first to say that, I'm sure. But, and he was a little more distinct in his delivery. So I could get all the way through it. And I heard most of what he said. I agree with Susie. There was still some of it I lost. I have to say, first of all, I don't think the script is very funny. I think it's trying very hard to be messagey and there's not really a lot of comedy in it. I do think that Levi did manage to pull a few moments of levity out of it, and some of that was just his characterizations. I do have to say one thing, and I didn't get all the way to this part in Eddie's, but in Levi's, there's one scene where there's a specifically raging queen, and of course it is Triangle Player, so that's not that uncommon. But considering the controversy that's been going on lately, especially if anybody saw the controversy over James Corden, who played a gay character in The Prom, and they accused him of being too effeminate, I didn't think he went too far, but I did feel like the character that was in the gay bar in the Santa Closet was way over the top. And I wonder if nowadays that's considered politically offensive or not, as a gay man myself. So anyway, that is the Santa Closet at Richmond Triangle Players. It is still streaming if you want to take your chances with it. You can go to their website and check that out. And now we have a special holiday interview. Welcome to Curtain Call.
Oh, well, this is Santa Claus. Good morning, Jerry.
Thanks for joining us, Santa Claus.
Glad to be here. Have you been a good boy?
Well,
I've read some of your reviews.
Well, then I guess you have to ask the theaters about that one. Speaking of theaters, actually, this is Santa Claus representing Cat Theater because Mike Fletcher, who is the managing director at Cat, also plays Santa Claus in the Catharsis Pandemic Theater Series. So welcome to Curtain Call, Mike.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So tell me what the deal is with this Catharsis Pandemic Theater and what y'all are doing special for the holidays.
We started this back in October with a couple of Halloween productions, and I've done another series of some online shows. But, you know, obviously with everybody being locked down, we wanted to do something to keep the momentum going. So we came up with the idea to do some holiday traditions. We started with Santa Claus.
Which, by the way, let me just add, people aren't seeing this, obviously, because I am on Zoom. Mike's got his big beard. He looks like Santa Claus. He's got a beautiful holiday background behind him, a Christmas tree and wreath. So it's a really cool setting. Unfortunately, I guess you have to watch the video to see that.
We'd love for people to watch the video. So we're doing a series of holiday traditions.
So describe what they are. Is each person just reading something, or are they doing a scene from a play, or what's exactly?
It's a little different with everybody. They're kind of making their own. Santa Red was the Night Before Christmas. We had the nativity story told by the innkeeper's wife. For Hanukkah, Fred Kaufman had introduced Rabbi Barry and told us all about how to use the dreidel and what that meant. Another Hanukkah video coming up with Amy Berlin, showing us how to make Hanukkah donuts. During winter solstice, we have Kwanzaa coming up. I think the gift of the Magi is on the list, and then we'll wrap it up with New Year's Eve.
Terrific. Now, are these free?
They are free on our YouTube channel. Of course, we ask for patrons to support us, but no, we've made these free. We're not charging for these.
That's great holiday spirit. And how does someone find that YouTube channel? Just type in Chamberlain Acting Theater?
Chamberlain Actors Theater, right.
And speaking of Chamberlain Actors Theater, are there any updates on the search for a new facility?
Not yet. We've talked about it. We've kind of put it on hold over the holidays. You know, obviously with the pandemic, we're not in a rush to find a space, because we'd be in the same position we were in before of paying rent on something we couldn't use.
That makes sense. Well, this is a great opportunity for people to at least have a little bit of fun with some holiday videos. Mike/Santa, hope you have a great holiday yourself.
Well, thanks very much, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's Curtain Call. We hope you have a great holiday, and we'll be back in 2021 with more news and interviews and eventually reviews.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theatre Critics Circle website at artsies.org.